There's no need to respond to untrue things. So just to echo what Coach said, it's completely false. And people are trying to character assassinate me, and it's unfortunate. I know I might sound down right now or upset or frustrated, but when I show up in that building tomorrow, I'll be the same guy. Those will be the same guys that I step on that field with, that give me everything they have. And sometimes we come up short, but at the end of the day, I'll still fight with them any day.
That, of course, is the voice of Robert Griffin III as another edition of, what should we call this soap opera? Sundays of Our Lives, maybe The Bold and the Burgundy. What are you thinking?
Bold and the Burgundy. I don't know about that.
You like that?
No, I don't like that.
Okay, well.
One game to win.
They may not get another win. I'm Rob Woodfork, joining you again for another Redskins podcast alongside George Wallace. And adding to the mix, because we like to play with the chemistry a little bit, Dave Preston.
Much like any soap opera, you have that rotating cast of characters that all of a sudden I disappear, or maybe I age 20 years and come back from prep school.
Well, look, we need to do it because this team just keeps losing.
Yeah.
And
so we're looking for...
Just looking for different voices on the losing.
Yeah. So if they win Sunday, I have to come back and do this again.
I guess.
That's probably...
I don't think they're going to win, so don't worry about it. Well, I didn't give that away just yet, folks. I was just kidding.
Still need to tune in on
Friday.
I'm
still trying to figure out this whole Bold and Burgundy thing you got going on here.
The Bold and Burgundy? Yeah. I think you secretly like it, and that's why you just brought it up
again.
What do you think?
I enjoy it. It's a nice twist. It's a play on words.
It's better than
the play on words is better than the play on the field, which has just been disappointing.
See what he did there?
At 3-8.
He's a pro, folks.
Yes. At 3-8 on the season, does this mean 5 weeks of just counting down until we're officially done? There's
short answer.
Officially
yes.
done, and then there's the runway to the end, which you got to feel we are. If not halfway on the runway, the plane has left the gate.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And actually, I proposed a nice game in the NFL recap this week that...
Where can you find that, by the way?
It's on WTOP.com. That's very nice of you to ask.
I try. I don't like the name of the thing, but I'll try.
We should play a game from here on out. See if the number of Redskin controversies outnumbers... how many wins they have at the end of the year.
Oh, that's a given.
I think we are already maybe a 2-1 margin at that point.
Are you taking odds on that?
You know, I
you want some
in
of
December.
That
there's
action, you know.
Well, the thing is, between now and the end of the season, there are definitely a lot more opportunities for controversies to develop,
yes.
You know, from out of nowhere that we've seen in the past.
But in the here and now, the Redskins routed by the 49ers on a national stage, 27-6. First time in RG3's professional, actually his career collegiately or in the pros, where he did not score a touchdown. His offense did not score a touchdown.
Yeah. It was just bad. I mean, it was just uninspired football. I mean, they did fight for a little bit, but it seems
the
like.
First half.
Yeah, but here's the problem, and this is where the guys can't find the answers for. They can't play 60 minutes of football. It's a quarter here. We saw the half in Minnesota. We saw somewhat in Dallas. We saw that, you know, a little bit in the Bears, Philadelphia last week, the second half. But other than that, they can't find four quarters of football to put together. And you can't, there's no excuse for that to be happening, A, at this point in the season, and B, at year four, Mike Shanahan. Am I right? Wrong?
No, absolutely.
Program's got to be together.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, even with whatever injuries you might have or salary cap frustrations, mm-hmm. you have to be able to put together four solid quarters.
Yeah.
They've not done that at all this season.
It feels like we could just cut and paste the stuff we say every week and just apply it.
Which we don't do. Each week is fresher than the previous week.
That's why we're bringing in different people.
And here's how you can know, because you,
right,
you have different voices. See?
I'm not recorded at all.
But it was bad. And then, you know, like I said, the players last night in the locker room, they're just searching for answers. They can't understand it. They can't explain it. Santana Moss said, if I knew, I'd tell you. Yeah.
What I don't get is how are they playing worse later on in games? 30 yards in the second half of that game. 30 yards.
And if you're scoring
offense
at home, folks, that's not good.
No. That's the worst they've done since 1994.
Heath Shuler.
Yes. Ooh. Sorry.
There's no Heath Shuler here.
What's frustrating is that they actually go into halftime with that field goal. You think there might be some momentum, and they come out, and just like they did in the first half, a couple of three and outs. Yeah. It's amazing. I think they had 12 possessions last night, and at least six were three and outs. Mm-hmm. You can't survive that way offensively, and you see a player like Alfred Morris, who the guy's had great first halves during this three-game losing streak. I think he's had 17, 15, 11 carries in the first half, and then after intermission, even in games that they're leading or it's only a one-possession game, they abandon the run completely. It's like he doesn't even exist in the second half.
That's the part that's fascinating to me. It's almost as if, and I've said this before, like they're trying to outcoach themselves. Like Kyle thinks that all of a sudden we have to get a step ahead and go away from the run because we're going to need to do it later. It just doesn't make sense. And I didn't like the fourth down. I don't mind going for fourth down at that point, but to run Roy Helu in that situation, I mean,
why wouldn't you run Alfred Morris?
Yeah,
Alfred
guy's
Morris
a battering ram.
Consistently gets 3 yards after
now,
contact.
The
if
argument
you hit him in the backfield,
is,
he's still getting a first down.
Your
there.
Third down package is on the field. And if you sub, then the 49ers can sub. But you know what? Wouldn't you think that you want your personnel to get fourth and two on the field rather, you know what I mean?
But here's my thing. When this team was winning championships, what did they do?
Pounded the ball. Pounded the football between the tackles.
Do you remember when they were winning championships?
No, I don't.
Okay. It was
offensive line.
Most people under the age of 30 don't, but I mean,
life begins at 30. Unfortunately, it ended with 30 yards last night in the second half for the Skins.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Offensive line. I guess what, they gave up three sacks last night. Four sacks last night. They've given up, I think, 9 or 12 over the last 3 or 4 games.
Right.
What is wrong with this front five?
Well, this offensive line is not built to protect Griffin in the pocket. This offensive line is built for the zone read and run. Because you see it, if they're on the move and Griffin's able to move, then you're able to get out forward. You're able to block.
Yep.
If they have to stand and block, you're seeing their age. You're seeing just how bad it is. I mean, Tyler Palumbus,
career
Corey Lichtensteiger, Will Montgomery, okay. Even Trent Williams had a bad game. Mike Shanahan said this afternoon, Trent just had a bad game.
But Trent Williams is the only guy who's been a consistent starter his entire career.
Everybody else
was a career backup before they got here. So, I mean, therein lies your problem.
So, I think to answer your question, I think that is the biggest issue.
Right.
And if he's going to be that pocket passer, which he wants to be, and if they want to mold him that, then they're going to have to
address
the
wall.
Line.
They need a moat, and they don't have much of anything. Defensively, even though they gave up just 27 points last night, this is a defense that has been consistently outscored either in the first half of every game or they've taken leads where they've lost the lead in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Hazlitt, is he gone at the end of the year, you think?
I think everybody's gone at the end of the year at this point.
I mean, think that if Mike Shanahan comes back, then I think he's going to be told he has to make changes to his staff. And I think that that could start with Mr. Burns and the special teams and that you could see Hazlitt also be a casualty of that. This is a guy who's never coached the 3-4. You had 4-3 personnel when Mike Shanahan came in and he changed it. I get it, it's year four, but they still haven't adapted, right? I mean, they haven't adapted to that. So, is that on Hazlitt? You know, you get the secondary, you have the cap hit, you can talk about that all you want, but Josh Wilson looked bad last night against Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis.
That's a guy.
D'Angelo Hall's had a heck of a year. You can't take that away from him, but, you know, London Fletcher's getting old. Now Stephen Bowen's out for the year along the front line. So, you know, that front seven has looked decent this year, but you've seen the issues with tackling and in the secondary. So it's just a matter of if they're going to pin it all on Hazlitt or they're going to realize the hand they've been dealt.
To me, the thing is, and we talked about this last week, watching that situation in Houston unfold, because there's a lot of Shanahan cronies there. So if you're going to make changes to the staff, if Shanahan stays, you may see Wade Phillips come here and coordinate the defense. You may see Gary Kubiak here as a key offensive assistant. So, I mean, you could get that infusion of change that you're looking for and get guys who have been successful in other stops. But for every 6 things that Shanahan has done wrong, I have mixed feelings about getting rid of him, because for every 6 things he's done wrong, he's done 6 things to help this franchise be better than it was before he got here.
Will Kubiak bring a 700-page playbook?
I would hope
not. Like Saunders did.
Al Saunders, ladies and gentlemen, to that point about Shanahan, and, you know, I was with you on that, and I still don't know if I'm completely off the ledge on that or not, but I'm finding it harder and harder to support bringing him back. I would say to bring him back and maybe, you know, Snyder makes him coach out the year, or you give him the 1-year extension for continuity's sake if you do think it's going the right direction. But you've seen the last couple weeks, you saw last night, I just did not see a football team playing for that coach.
And this wasn't a 1 o'clock regional game. This was Monday Night Football. This was all eyes in the nation are upon you. And it reminded me of Spurrier's last game.
Yes.
A couple days before he faxed in his resignation, they lost a primetime Saturday night game to Philly.
Yep.
It reminds me of the 45-12 swinging gate game. Where well, you knew that Zorn was so done it wasn't
night.
Even fun.
We were talking about that last night, that if this, the relation to the swinging gate, mine would be if Shanahan pulls Griffin at some point, then that's like, that's it. You're done.
That
what do you
is.
Think?
I mean, you're stunting his growth at that point.
These guys, well.
But that's a thing to the owner's box. You know, I'm done, you know.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
Yeah, or do you just yank RG3 just to save him from getting killed?
You can't.
Preservation.
You can't bench him.
At this stage of the
season. I would say in a
because
game.
Because if you say that about RG3, then you have to say that about Andrew Luck, who has just as much an impediment with their offensive line situation in Indy. So, I mean, if you're worried about the guy getting killed, I don't think that that's a viable excuse to pull him. If he's not playing well, then you got then maybe you got a choice to make. But he's in year two. He didn't have an offseason. You got to live with it.
And that's where I think that he just needs to play. Regardless of what this outcome is going to happen, he needs the reps. He needs the on-field reps, physical reps, to come back from that injury. He just needs to keep playing. Like you say, he's 23, his second year. Now, in a game like last night, to your point, Dave, he's getting beat up. Maybe you pull him at the end of that game and just save him a little bit.
Yeah, you're down to touchdowns. You're not coming back.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here over the final 5 weeks.
Well,
we'll be here to talk about it.
We will be here to talk about it. See,
what do you think? How do you do?
Some of the Dave segue rubbed off on you there. Yeah, I that.
This is not a recording.
Yeah.
Actually, it is, but it's not a recording from last week.
There you go.
Do we have a timestamp for this? We let people know that it was recorded today as opposed to rehashing last week.
I'm actually holding up today's paper, but I don't know if that translates to a podcast. All right, so we will return on Friday.
Should we have Dave come back?
Let's see what Dave's schedule is.
All right.
Let's see what Dave's schedule is.
I think he did well.
I think he did have a nice little tryout here.
I won't fall down an elevator shaft on the bold and the burgundy.
There you go. That's Dave Preston. George Wallace, the Redskins beat reporter here. I am Rob Woodfork. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap every Tuesday on WTOP.com. We'll talk to you Friday.